This is the Quality News Network. For the first time, for the fifth time in 3 days, a powerful earthquake has rocked Indonesia. Tsunami warnings were issued this morning for the entire Indian Ocean region following two tremors in excess of magnitude 6. Forecasters say the storm Umberto, which battered the Texas and Louisiana coast yesterday, grew from tropical depression to hurricane faster than any other storm system on record. Tens of thousands of customers remain without power this morning, and authorities are monitoring areas for flooding. Late last night, the ninth storm of the Atlantic hurricane season formed in the ocean east of the Lesser Antilles. Tropical storm Ingrid is moving west-northwest, strengthening as she goes. As expected last night, President Bush announced 20,000 or so troops could come home from Iraq within a year if the country's security and political situation improves. Also, as expected, Democratic leaders criticized the president's plan, saying it doesn't go far enough, fast enough. A White House progress report on Iraq to be released today indicates Baghdad has made significant progress on only one benchmark goal. A senior Bush administration official says Iraqis have successfully reintegrated former Ba'ath Party members into the political process. In Anchorage, the former CEO of Alaska's largest oil services company testified yesterday he had bribed three important Republican legislators, including the son of U.S. Senator Ted Stevens. Stevens is also under federal investigation. In Philadelphia, the police chief has called for 10,000 volunteers to patrol city streets to help reduce violent crime, particularly in black neighborhoods. The volunteers will be unarmed and unable to make arrests, but will be trained in conflict resolution. Federal transportation investigators are on scene in eastern Washington state, where a small oil company plane from Montana crashed yesterday. All three aboard were killed. Horizon Air announced it will cancel more than 120 flights today in Canada and on the West Coast following a recommendation from aircraft maker Bombardier that air carriers ground its turboprops. Twice this week, landing gear collapsed on Bombardier aircraft. Inspections have been called for. You're listening to the Quality News Network, Science and Business, next.
Have you ever found yourself swatting at a fly no one else sees? Chances are, you're seeing what we commonly call a floater. Many people have them and have had them for a while. Floaters are condensed proteins located in the gel-like part of our eyes called the vitreous. As we age, this gel becomes more liquefied, and so whatever debris was once trapped inside is now freer to float around. They are typically harmless, but you should check with your eye doctor if you notice new floaters, especially if they appear after a flash of light, or if you should notice a curtaining effect of your side vision. Otherwise, that squiggly critter you see, especially when you look at a blue sky or a white background, is probably with you for life and should simply be ignored. I'm Dr. Nancy Eklund.
The preceding message on Eye Care by Dr. Nancy Eklund has been brought to you as a public service by the Quality News Network. For more information, please contact your eye doctor.
Japanese scientists announced a major breakthrough in attempts to preserve endangered species of fish. The researchers were able to engineer surrogate parenting so that salmon produce trout. Search engine Google has entered the effort to encourage space exploration and travel by private companies. Google is offering a $30 million prize to the first company that beams a gigabyte of images from moon to Earth via a robotic rover. Verizon Wireless files suit against federal regulators in an attempt to strike down new auction regulations. Yesterday, shares of Great Britain's fourth-largest home lender, Northern Rock, fell almost 20%, a record. That after the company announced the Bank of England would provide emergency bailout funding to keep Northern Rock operating. McDonald's stock jumped to a record high after the world's biggest fast food chain announced it would increase its dividend to shareholders by the largest amount in its history. Shares of retailer Target increased 2% after the company announced it was considering selling its customer $7 billion credit card debt. Light sweet crude is trading at $79.57 a barrel, gold trading at $714.80 an ounce, silver at $12.64 an ounce. There's more on our website, qualitynewsnetwork.com. I'm Annabelle Lund.
This is a top to, you know, what we use on stage, but it's very, very special because if you can see,
yeah,
the numbers all go to 11. Look, right across the board, 11, oh, 11,
and most of
11,
the
and then
amps go up to 10.
Exactly.
Does that mean it's louder? Is it any louder?
Well, it's one louder, isn't it? It's not 10. You see, most blokes, you know, be playing at 10. You're on 10 here, all the way up, all the way up,
yeah,
all the way up. You're on 10 on your guitar. Where can you go from there? Where?
I don't know.
Nowhere, exactly. What we do is if we need that extra push over the cliff, you know what we do?
Put it up to 11.
11, exactly. One louder.
Why don't you just make 10 louder and make 10 be the top number and make that a little louder?
These go to 11.
Welcome to Conversation Radio's Lean, Mean, and Green Show. It's Foxed Up with John Fox, where we turn Conversation Radio into Conservation Radio. Foxed Up is brought to you by B1 Louder Productions in Sydney, Australia, and the Mid-Atlantic Regional Council of Carpenters. They're building the American dream every day. B1 Louder by ringing 877-443-2366. That's 877, the numeral 4, head on. And now, your host, the ranting, head-banging hippie, John Fox!
All right, everyone, how you doing? Welcome to Foxed Up here on the Head On Radio Network. Geez, I'm having to get my head into gear here a little bit, you know? Because I just watched The Chaser. I missed it on Wednesday. And as you know, I've forgotten the formalities. Welcome to another wondrous day of Conversation Radio here on the Head On Radio Network. And you know what? It's going to be a big day today. I'm telling you. There's going to be something special, but not in this program. We'll talk about that later. Of course, it being Friday, today is Billy Shear's Music Day. And I do believe we have one of his John Lennon segments this week. We'll get to that shortly. But Wednesday I did miss the live broadcast of The Chaser. And, you know, you've been hearing from me and you heard it on the news over there. The Chaser's War on Everything is this great little snarky ABC program that kind of takes the piss out of everything. And they got past Apex Security with a bogus motorcade. Not just one, but two. Well, actually, they only got through with one. The second one was so ridiculous that they had no chance of getting through. But anyway, they had a couple of limos, three vans, a couple of motorcycles, 11 people, and an Australian dressed up as Osama bin Laden. Now, what made it hysterical is they have admitted, you know, since the event, that they never expected to get through the gate. They thought they were going to get stopped at the gate, and that was going to be it, and it was all going to be over. Everyone was going to have a big laugh. But they were let straight through. And not only that, when they got in, they got to a checkpoint, and they're figuring, this is it, we're over, we're done, it's finished. But no. The cops come out and stop all the traffic and go and tell them, the road is yours. So at that point, they figure they've been in there long enough, they might turn around. So they grab the cops and say, sorry, we have to go back. And so they stop traffic and let this motorcade turn around. So then they decided they'd been in the car too long, so it was time to stretch their legs. So out comes one of the blokes dressed as Osama with the full beard, the white garb, and starts walking. And who do the cops arrest? The guy dressed as a Secret Service agent, and the guy dressed up as Osama is just kind of following along, walking along. Absolutely insane. So then, the next day, they show up with cardboard cutouts of a motorcade strapped over their shoulders and pull up, and they're saying, "What's wrong with this? This doesn't look any more ridiculous than the last one." Oh, and you know, they have to face court over it. And even they admitted that it was a bizarre week in the life of their program. I mean, they've done some stunts before, but I don't think they ever expected anything like that. Anyway, be interesting to see if they end up, you know, being fined or, you know, what happens. But you know, and some of the shots, you know, there were cops taking pictures of themselves with the chaser. It's just an absolute riot. And if you want to check it out, you can go and download it, actually. The entire program is available at abc.net.au, and just look for the Chaser's War and everything, and they have a vodcast for it. Go get it. It is absolutely hysterical, and even though that's not the whole show, the rest of it's pretty funny. And they actually go and prove that it's harder to get into a rugby leagues club than it was to get into OPEC, which is really rather just sad. But anyway. And I'll tell you, our little prime minister, the little wanker that he is just not having a good time. He can't win. APEC made him look like a complete and utter jackass. And I really think he's going to be on the way out. And it's looking so bad for him that his deputy has come out and accused the labor leader, the opposition leader, of being arrogant because he says he's got the election in the bag. Well, I haven't seen anything like that from Kevin Rudd. And in one of the most brilliant bits of talking out of both sides of one mouth in two connected sentences, the deputy leader of the government at the moment said, "I heard leaked numbers from an inside labor poll that they believe they have the election won. Rudd is so arrogant." And then the next line is, "And you can't trust leaked polling results from party rooms." I had to read it like five times. So he uses a leak to claim that the guy's arrogant, and then says you can never trust leaks from party rooms. And I just looked at it and I'm going, who's going to buy this crap? And they really, I kind of wish I could pump some of this stuff to you all in the States just so you could see absolutely how ridiculous these guys are looking. You know, it's just kind of like the it's what we wish would happen in the States in a way. It's like the big curtain's been raised, you know. You're finally seeing, you know, look behind the curtain, there's the little man pulling the levers and knobs and creating the illusion that is the wizard. And Howard's just looking really, really bad. He's trying to throw money left, right, and center at every little special interest group trying to buy votes. There's something new every day, and it's really, really pathetic, and I think it's going to completely work against him. They this week they had a whole big challenge over new leadership, whether Howard was going to step down or be forced out, and it was all just kind of a bit of nonsense, and he and his deputy have been kind of spatting at each other for the last 2 years, and so after all this week of all this infighting, they've come out as a team. You know, and it's just like a right-wing setup, you know, a Republican setup, you know. Okay, things are bad. This is how we have to spin it, see? Here, this is how we have to spin it, see? And everyone's just going like, what is this bad acting that's going on? This is just, can I get my money back? I didn't know that the show was going to be this bad. Can I get my money back? I want to go home. I'd rather go to a bar. like I said, it's been an interesting couple of weeks down here in Oz, and yeah, it's been fun. So I think we're going to head out to our first break, because when we come back, we have the one, the only, Mr. Billy Shears and our Friday Shears music segment. So sit back and enjoy. It's always a wonderful bit of audio. So stick around, folks. You're listening to Foxed Up here on the Head On Radio Network. We shall return straight after this.
We know you want to save big on your phone bill, and we know how you can.
That's right. We do.
We're saving more than 50% on our home phone bill since we switched to CityNet's digital phone plan.
Really? Over 50%?
CityNet's digital phone plan is only $24.95 a month.
Only $24.95?
You get unlimited local and long-distance calling.
Just $24.95.
And with CityNet's digital phone plan, you keep your current number. All you need is a high-speed internet connection. Get details at citynet.net.
$24.95.
And, oh, this is cool. With CityNet's digital plan, I can use my home phone anywhere in the world with high-speed internet. No extra cost.
There's 20, and there's 4, and there's 95.
Did I mention CityNet is a West Virginia-owned company?
Did I mention $24.95?
Save at least 50% on your residential phone. Get unlimited local and long distance, and keep your same number, all for just $24.95 a month. Visit citynet.net today for more details. Some exclusions and restrictions may apply.
Election coming up next year. All of the candidates are clear positioning themselves to soak up the maximum number of our votes. Remember Bill Clinton's campaign speech to the GLBT community in California? It was just prior to his first election. Remember the tears running down cheeks when he told us, "I see the future and you're in it." Well, this is the future he saw. How do you like it? Strictly Confidential is GLBT Conversation Radio. Join me at 9 p.m. Eastern.
Stand by me.
No!
No way.
No way.
Stand by me.
Stand by me.
Not at all.
Not at all.
Stand by me.
Stand by me.
No way.
Howdy, this is Baxter Black. And if you're like me, you're concerned that the environment we enjoy today may not be around for our children and grandchildren. All the new technology in the world can't create more sky over our heads or new oceans. The Earth's natural resources, fresh water, land, and even the air we breathe are limited. Voluntary family planning improves the health of women and their children. It also helps slow population growth, which is good for our planet. So help ensure that people everywhere have access to the information and services they need to plan their families and help build a healthy future for us all. Population Action International is working to promote voluntary family planning around the world. Visit us at www.populationaction.org. That's populationaction.org.
This is the Head On Radio Network, The Horn.
In the fall of 1974, John Lennon just completed his LP Walls and Bridges. He decided to promote the album by taking to the airwaves in several major cities across the country. One of the most memorable appearances was the one he did on WNEW-FM in New York with Dennis Elsis. This radio appearance by John Lennon is also in the Museum of Broadcasting's permanent collection. So here are some of the highlights of that interview slash co-DJ appearance by John Lennon on a rainy September 28, 1974 afternoon.
There you stand with your L.A. tan and your New York walk and your New York talk.
surprise, surprise. It's Dr. Winston O'Boogie at your service. I am Dennis's surprise, actually.
And he didn't come out of a cake or anything like that. John Lennon is with us, and we'll spend some time this afternoon to talk about the new album and a whole bunch of things, and maybe even do some disc jockeying.
Yeah, it's my second favorite occupation.
We'll get into some good music.
I'd like to play whatever gets you through the night.
As the show progresses from hour one to hour two, Lennon and Elsa started to get more comfortable with one another. John then had no problem taking some liberties with the commercials in the John Lennon classic style.
Listen to this. Playcart C1, Pierre Boulez's album, The Rites of Spring, spelled R-I-G-H-T-S, very subtle, is available at a special low price. No wonder, I tell myself. At all Corvette stores for only $3.87. Or you could get my album instead, but that's a matter of choice. Tonight at the Joint in the Woods, guess who's there? It's ladies' night. They won't like that. Woman's night. Featuring the exciting eight-piece all-female group, Isis or Izzes, depending where you come from. All females admitted at half price. Oh, good. Bowie can get in. Also, Dance and Party with Lock, Stock and Barrel. That probably is a group because it's in inverted commas. Coming next Wednesday, October the 2nd, to the Joint in the Woods. Nothing like a Joint in the Woods, he says, losing his green card possibilities in one blow. T-Rex on Friday. Now, that's a good band. Now, he's buy a couple of his records. He's getting fat with worry. On Friday, October the 4th, Martha Reeves. She's great. And Saturday, October the 5th, Buzzy Linhart. She's great, too. For more information, call, get your little pencils ready, 201-335-9800. 9800. Joint in the Woods, Parsippany.
Yes.
Got it this time,
done.
Yeah. Sounds like a group. New Jersey, Where the Stars Shine. All right, we're not going to bother with the weather, just look out of the window. Oh, you want the weather?
It's
the degrees have changed. Oh, this is a nice degree. The temperature's 69. Get it? Yeah. Humidity is 90%, number 9, that's all right. Barometer 30.013, that's another 9. Inches and falling. Inches and falling, that sounds like a song. Wind, southeast at 6. See, it's all 6 and 9s. Very deep, man, very deep. The weather in Central Park is still there.
John came to this interview prepared. His love for American oldies rock and roll is shared by bringing several albums from his personal collection. Here he lets the listeners in on an interesting piece of info about Instant Karma.
Ah, yes.
Are we going back to
favorite
oldies?
We are, just so everyone can tune in properly, at 102.7.
102.7, in case you're not quite on the dial there, otherwise you get that terrible hissy treble jazz.
And John Lennon is our guest?
Yes, he is.
Or maybe it's the other way around.
Well, it depends which... No, I think I'm the guest, because I'm sitting behind the thing.
Yeah.
Although I do have the sweeties and the...
But you brought the records along.
I brought four only. I didn't know how you'd take it. I nearly brought 100, but, you know. I forget to play my own album. I'm so busy playing these old...
What is another
American record that nobody I know over here seems to have ever heard of it. And it's called Some Other Guy by Richie Barrett. There is a strange bootlegs of the Beatles singing it rather crappily. From the cabin somewhere, way back in 61. This is another what I call Son of What Did I Say, Son of Watch Your Step, Son of Lick Records. And this is a guy called Richie Barrett, who's also a songwriter. I think he's still around, but I don't know what he's doing. This is some other guy. You'll notice the intro is slightly like Instant Karma.
Here, Lennon talks about the early relationship between the Beatles and the Rolling Stones. He was asked if they were friends. Now, at the end of John's comments, you'll hear the song written by John and Paul for the Stones, first performed by the Stones, and then in the middle picked up by the Beatles.
Yeah, we went to see them at, I believe the place is called Crawdaddy in Richmond, and also, I think, another place in London. And they were run by a different guy then, Giorgio Gomelsky. And immediately we started hanging around London. The Stones were just up and coming in the clubs then, and we knew Giorgio through Epstein, and we went down and saw them and became good friends. And the story on how this song we're going to play, I Want to Be Your Man, which we virtually finished off in front of them because they needed a record. They'd put out Come On by Chuck Berry and they needed a quick follow-up. And we went down, we met Andrew Oldham, who used to work for us, or used to work for Epstein, and he'd then gone with the Stones and probably got them off Giorgio Gomelsky, and he came to us and said, have you got a song for him? We said, sure, you know, because we didn't really want it ourselves, which is one way of putting it. We went in, and I remember teaching it to him, you know, and the whole story of it, which helped my memory of it, because it all fades away, is in that book on Mick, which Mick's not keen on. I understand that, but
Tony Scaduto.
Yeah, yeah. But it's all right for people who they're not writing about those books. You know, if it was about me, I wouldn't like it probably either. But I must say, I raced through it for all the juicy bits, like everybody else, right? And it's very interesting. I don't think it really harms him. You know, it shows that he knows what he's doing, which is cool. I don't think he did anything to Brian Jones either. So here's I Want to Be Your Man by the Stones themselves.
Cheers, and hey, thanks for lending an ear.
Well, thank you, Mr. Shears. Jeez, how bizarre is that to hear the Stones doing that, what we know as a Beatle tune? I've never heard that before. That was just, I was just twisted. Bizarre. and I think that, I'm going to swallow that statement. Never mind. and for me, just hearing anything off of WNEW, I grew up on that station. Scott Muni, the booming voice of New York rock and roll radio. I mean, he was amazing. I remember one of the last times I ever heard Scott Muni before I moved out of the New York area. Scott had a couple of Sorry, it wasn't Scott. It was one of the other DJs had a couple of the guys from Kiss in the studio. And in the middle of the interview, Scott Muni shows up to get ready for his shift, and he just pops his head in the door to say hi to the boys, and you could, like, feel the boominess of his voice from, like, across the studio. And one of the guys in the band said, you know, you could have your eyes shut, and you know that's Scott Muni, the man whose voice, without any kind of amplification, just rattles a building. I mean, he was on that station for some, I don't know, 30 plus years, and I mean, he even had trying to think of who the hell it was that he had on that actually like had a heart attack in the middle of the interview, and he kind of banged him on the chest, and he came to, and they continued the interview. Oh, I'm trying to remember which smackhead guitar player that was in the 70s. But anyway, let's take our bottom of the hour break. We'll go out and we probably have a bit of the progressive during this break. So stick around. You're listening to Foxed Up here on the Head On Radio Network. When we come back, I have something that Bob sent me that is going to make you mad. Believe me, this will make you mad. And I think, Bob, I'm going to try and get a hold of this guy. Call him from my West Virginia phone number, why don't I? So stick around, folks. You listen to Foxed Up on the Head On Radio Network, and we'll be right back after this.
This is Bill O'Brien with a message that pretty much defines Concord University. It's from Emily Dickinson. There is no frigate like a book to take us lands away, nor any courses like a page of prancing poetry. This traverse may the poorest take without oppressive toll. How frugal is the chariot that bears a human soul. Respect for learning, a mission to deliver education that touches souls, consideration to what students can afford, career rewards that pay dividends far beyond the dollars earned. At Concord, we've never crossed that important line between the business of education and education as a business. The first is extremely serious. It changes lives and connects with the moral and the spiritual. We're good at that. The second is no less serious. It raises ethical concerns, however. We avoid that. Concord University, the frugal chariot that bears human souls. Call the Concord Admissions Office, 1-888-384-5249.
I'm Matt Rothschild, the editor of the Progressive Magazine, with my progressive point of view, which you can also grab off our website over at progressive.org. Will someone please sedate Joe Lieberman? The putative Democrat, but in almost always Republican, Lieberman outdid himself at the Petraeus hearing this week. Not content simply to front for the Iraq War and the occupation, Lieberman did all he could to try to goad Petraeus into agreeing to expand that war into Iran, which is a little Lieberman obsession. Here's Joe Lieberman. Is it time to give you the authority in pursuit of your mission in Iraq to pursue those Iranian Quds forces in Iranian territory in order to protect American troops in Iraq? Well, Petraeus didn't take the bait. He responded, "Sir, I think that really the multinational force Iraq should just focus on Iraq. Any kind of outside boundaries operations should be rightly overseen," he said, "by the Central Command." Now, I'm no fan of Petraeus's. He piled it high during his 2 days of testimony, and he's willingly agreed to play Bush's toy soldier. But at least on the subject of Iran, he answered appropriately, and at least for the moment, he put Joe Lieberman in his place, which is in the fool's corner. I'm Matt Rothschild, and that's how I see it.
I can't see.
And again, I was talking about the Republican debate. So we'll get to the point where we're going to drag a terrorist out onto the stage with the Republicans, and they're all going to take turns kicking him in the nuts and see who the audience cheers for the most. That's going to determine who's going to be the Republican candidate. And that's what they are. kick them in the nuts. How do they do that on South Park? Rochambeau. They're going to Rochambeau the terrorists.
Come on, rub my nipples while I torture this little piggy.
Now that sounds pretty sweet to me.
The Cup of Joe radio show with your host, the working man's thinking man, Joe Vecchio. 11 a.m. to noon weekdays here on the Head On Radio Network, America's liberal voice.
This is the Head On Radio Network.
Dip the diplomatic, dip the hippocratic, drive the driver.
Aha, Jarman! Love it, Bob. Very nice. Very nice. All right, everybody. That's Bob giving us a soft entrance into this next segment. Okay. I have no idea who Chris Steierwalt is. But looking at his little photograph here at WBOY.com, he looks like, oh, Rush Limbaugh and Bowtie Boys bastard love child. It looks like he's about 35, already doing the Oxycontin in a bow tie. But sorry, I'm just conjecturing. he had this little piece. Now, it seems as though some coal mining gear was torched recently. So without any proof, without anything, it obviously has to be the environmentalists, you see. Now, let's see if you can find where there's some serious problems in this piece. He says, Steierwalt. Last week, somebody torched $5 million worth of equipment at a strip mine in Wyoming County. Burning things for fun and profit is hardly unheard of in southern West Virginia, but the scope and effectiveness of the arson and the lack of an obvious beneficiary makes one wonder who would do such a thing. The story didn't get much play, but I'm having a hard time shaking the notion that there was something terribly unusual about the crime. The three end loaders were sitting idle at a remote surface mine owned by Bluestone's Coal Dynamic Energy late September 3rd when somebody lit them in a spectacular fashion. Was it spectacular, mate? Is your bow tie spectacular? Everything was declared a total loss, and the fire instantly was ruled an arson. An arson? No, as arson. Somebody knew where to find the equipment, brought the tools to do the job, and had the know-how to do it. Getting something made of steel that's 30 feet long and weighs 30,000 pounds to burn beyond repair takes more than a gallon of gas and a box of matches. Now, when something gets burned at a coal mine, especially at a non-union surface mine in southern West Virginia, my first thoughts drift back to the goon squads and skullbusters of past labor disputes. I don't think this guy was even old enough when the unions were strong. You know? This guy just looks like a complete turd. But it's been some 17 years since we saw much in the way of large-scale labor strife and vandalism in the coal fields, and trend away from mayhem and destruction has been pretty consistent. The leadership of the UMWA effectively has turned that organization, get this, into sort of a miner's version of the VFW, old-timers who talk about the glory days and beef about their pensions. They are not likely suspects for large-scale terrorism. Ah, there's the word, terrorism. This is the article. That's not me adding that in. That's him going, oh, there's the word, terrorism. It was just last summer that eco-nuts... Now, here's where we start getting all those nice little key phrases. It was just last summer that eco-nuts from around the nation descended on our state for something called Mountain Summer Justice, which was when hippies came here to stop strip mining or something. Obviously, he really paid attention to what was going on. Maybe somebody's old Volvo broke down, or there was a word that a fish reunion, but not much ever materialized. This guy's just a complete another dickhead. There was one pretty lame protest at the governor's office that did little more than annoy some state troopers and thrill public broadcasting listeners. I mean, do you hear how loaded this is? Other than that, there was a half-hearted march at Massey Energy Mine, which makes you wonder why the governor didn't invite them for a hot chai or organic soy snaps and nothing more. The kind of attacks that have been heaped on the logging and construction industries for 20 years didn't materialize. The folks from groups like Earth First and others that teeter between activism and eco-terrorism haven't been as busy here as they have been out west, but that may be changing. Coal River Mountain Watch, here's where you're really going to start getting mad, and good thing Nanette's not in the chat room, but she's probably seen this. Coal River Mountain Watch has become the center of the fight against surface mining. Notice he says surface mining, not mountaintop removal. Our local group has never shown violent tendencies, but in court, in the streets, and in the sympathetic national media, Bob, hey, when have you seen the media sympathetic to the folks that are fighting mountaintop removal? I mean, open up your mic. Why don't you jump in on this?
Yeah, I'm here.
I'm sorry. You're down there. I'm not there, but I can guess that the local media does not really give fair time.
Oh no. That's why time and again I've tried to explain to folks, John, that if we're going to get any help, it's going to have to come from outside West Virginia. I would hazard a guess that we here at the Horn are virtually the only media inside the state of West Virginia that is consistently sympathetic to the folks who are tortured and tormented by mountaintop removal. We're not going to get any help here. Now, as far as the sympathetic national media, what Steyerwalt, this little turd in a bow tie, is talking about is the fact that there have been spreads in Vanity Fair and National Geographic, and Bill Moyers has highlighted the evangelical response of some evangelical Christians to the destruction of what, you know, I would think a Christian would see as God's creation. They're pissed off about it because Coal River Mountain Watch is not willing to live in the ghetto in the shadows of toxic waste sludge dams that are going to collapse on them someday. They're not willing to put up with that anymore.
Right. This piece just seems so unbelievably loaded, Bob, and it's just the language, you know. Go ahead and grab that.
But, no,
you know,
I got it. No worries.
Yeah. So you know, but I mean, it's the language in there. I mean, even if you had this point of view, if you really were serious about getting your point across in a balanced way, this piece could have been written very differently, gotten its points across without having to step down to this name calling kind of casting aspersions, you know, the fish thing and all. I mean, it's just all this stupid crap, you know. It's this bringing the dialogue down to something that you would remember from a third grade playground.
Well, John, this is what you can expect. I mean, first of all, the state journal that this floater works for is nothing. I mean, you know, they're tarted up. They've got the hooker heels on, and they love to do for Massey Energy and Don Blankenship what Monica did for Bill. Okay,
right.
They live to do that. They're utterly worthless. And of course, this guy also writes for the Daily Mail. And his claim to fame, the Daily Mail is the right-wing rag sister paper to the Charleston Gazette, and his claim to fame is that he uncovered the illicit sexual affair of former Governor Bob Wise. He's another Republican obsessed with sex, and as well as obsessed with remaining completely obeisant and subservient to big coal in this state. You know, the operation that has been killing us for over 100 years. But, you know, who's counting? Hey, we've got...
Well, you know...
I was going to say, John, we've got Susan on the line if you'd like me to bring her along.
Oh, yeah, please do. How you going, Susan?
Stand by, please. There's
no
Susan.
No worries. Hi, Susan.
Hi there.
How are you? Long time no speak.
I actually managed to get up this morning.
Sparrow's fart in your area of the country.
Yeah, just in time to scream and throw something. Yeah, they're trying this crap out here, too. Yeah, 6 miles from St. Helens. I don't understand these people. I really don't.
You're not supposed to.
What makes them think that they're going to be exempt from this planet going down the tube? I'll never understand.
Sorry, go ahead.
Well, on top of that, I've got something really scuzzy that's going to make everybody in the audience go absolutely berserk.
Okay.
I'm a news ninja, so I came across this news that you ought to blow your socks off.
Mm-hmm.
If you go to www.wethepeopleforpresident.com, which is the website for a freak called Daniel Gilbert, he's running for president. He's one of those fringe creeps on the right. He wants the 14th Amendment used to strip Kucinich of his office.
What?
Yep.
What is the basis for this? This I love. I gotta hear.
Because he went to Syria and said Bush was wrong, the policy was wrong, and the U.S. was wrong, and according to the 14th Amendment, the only way you can strip somebody of their office is treason. And he says that's treason.
This is this world that we live in now, Susan. You know, free speech is now, you know, we now have this stuff, you know, treasonous speech. We have laws here in Australia against seditious speech. And supposedly, if I were to go out in public with a PA system in this country and actually talk about the lost generation of Aboriginals, I could be locked up for seditious speech.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I mean, this is just this really, really twisted and bizarre place that we live in. And, you know, it's as though the mafias and the con artists have all taken over power, and they'll do anything possible to not be exposed, and they'll do everything in their power to just try and put fear into people. And this is, I mean, Kucinich? I mean, you know, they're obviously going after him because he's one of the few that's actually opening up the debate in this election.
I suggest to all of our listeners, go to this website, www.wethepeopleforpresident.com, and let this creep know what we think of him.
Absolutely. I think have you posted this yet?
I'm going to be posting it to Centab, and then I'm going to be also, this particular article is going to be going up on both blogs.
Absolutely, absolutely. This is just stupid. I wonder what Dennis thinks. I wonder what Dennis thinks of this. You know,
he's in Hawaii right now, but I don't even know if he's seen it. I just. Oh.
His staff would have picked up on this by now. I guarantee you that even with a smaller campaign like his, he'd have enough staff that would be scouring the web for everything regarding Dennis. So, you know, I reckon that might be one for Bob to try and get a hold of Dennis if he can and you know, say, have you heard about this idiot and what do you think?
Yeah, I'm giving him a platform to tell him to go jump in the lake. Oh,
absolutely.
No. I want to strangle him.
Yeah, you know, and I'll tell you what though. Bob actually interjects in the chat and is wondering, and this is a possibility. Would we be better off to just ignore the idiot?
I don't know. I can't help after last night and after seeing this. I can't help thinking. Would it be considered a threat if you put a sign up saying Bush should have been strangled by his mother at birth?
I think you could just be going into the bad taste category enough to just be leaving yourself open for things. But you know,
he does really make the case for infanticide. He really does.
Well, I also think
the Republican Party does. You know, these people are just strange.
Jesus, I had a smart ass remark, and I just forgot it. This also, in a way, though, Susan, this kind of gives me a little bit of hope, in a way, okay? If someone's willing to spend this much time on Dennis Kucinich, supposedly a sidelined candidate, who I really think...
Making him nervous.
Yeah, and like I said, yesterday I was reading some of the statements between Obama, Kucinich, and Edwards over... Obama coming out and, you know, talking about a pullout now, and Kucinich just came back just hammering him, going, you know, it's a little late to be coming to the party now, buddy, and your voting record doesn't actually follow up with what your speeches have been. So, you know, and he really, really hammered at him, and I've been seeing him really pick up his game. Not saying that he was lacking before, but I get the impression that he's getting his neck out there more and more, and he's actually getting a little bit more face time, kind of like as each week goes by, because he is actually ringing with people.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, Bob, you are just going to love this, where this was, Dateline from Asheville, North Carolina. Pardon my lousy southern accent. Home of the two cops who arrested those two nice people for holding up a sign.
Oh well, they were desecrating their flag. There's two stories there, Susan. There was the one couple that had their home burst into by a sheriff's deputy because they were flying the flag the wrong way, because they were flying it upside down and had a note pinned to it. And then there were the cops that roughed up the guy standing on the corner holding up a sign that says Impeach Bush Cheney.
Yeah.
Nice place, Asheville.
Yeah, that's where this press release is from. It's from Asheville, North Carolina.
You know, it was Asheville, North Carolina, Susan, that Thomas Wolfe was writing about when he said you can't go home again. And you read stories like this and you wonder why you'd want to.
Who really, really want to? Yeah. Especially if there's people like this in there. Dick.
Well, I mean, this was North Carolina, you said?
Yeah.
They have quite a history. Don't they? some of the stories that I used to hear from Bruce used to just make my head spin. seriously. Yeah. Seriously, you know, I remember he was talking about, you know, some of the, you know, keeping, you know, African Americans from the polls and things. And I'm going, you know, you're talking like 1950, 1960. He goes, no, I'm talking like 1992. And I'm like, what? I'm like, you're kidding. He goes, no, this is just like, you know, might be kind of like a northern place in the South, but it's about as redneck as you can get when you, you know, like, you wouldn't get the impression, but there's something there. And I mean, you remember what happened with the Stop Bush Coalition or whatever it was. All of those folks that had the guns pulled on them by the Homeland Security guy that refused to identify himself and had no identification. And Bruce and I interviewed a couple of them. You know, it's got to be almost 2 years ago now. You know, just some really, really, you know, just bizarre activities. But then again, it just seems like this whole planet has gone off the bizarre into bizarro world, as far as I can
it's
tell.
Like the
it's
whole
just
planet's gone tripped on acid.
And it's not even good acid, Susan. It's all bad
acid.
We're
all on a bad trip. It's like we're all taking the brown acid.
And it just won't end. It keeps going and going and going.
I know. And on that note, I shall leave you.
Right on. Great to talk to you, Susan. You take care of yourself.
Okay, you too. Bye.
Bye-bye. All right. Well, you know, we're kind of getting to the end of things here. Joe Vecchio is coming up very, very soon. Jeez. And even though I know you all will be there for Bob's show today, I suggest you, if you had something else that might have taken you away, I suggest you rock up today. I'm not going to say anything else, but there's going to be something really unique on Head On today. So you just stick around. But anyway, big thanks to Ben Birch of the White Rose Society for the archiving and the streaming. Thanks to Bob for producing today and for jumping in on things, because, you know, when it comes to West Virginia and the coal mines, you know, it's a lot better getting him involved than just having me blabber on. thanks to our mods and our bloggers. The News Ninjas, there was just one. They do an amazing job. You know, and ELO and everybody in the chat room, and, you know how it goes. and thanks to Scott Berry at B1 Louder Productions for the music. And as we say here on Foxed Up, be good, be green. We'll see you on Monday.
If ever I would stop thinking about music and politics, I would tell you that sometimes it's easier to desire and pursue the attention and admiration of 100 strangers than it is to accept the love and loyalty of those closest to me. And I would tell you that sometimes I prefer to look at myself through someone else's eyes, eyes that aren't clouded with the tears of knowing what an asshole I can be, as yours are. If ever I would stop thinking about music and politics, I might be able to listen in silence to your concerns, rather than hearing everything as an accusation or an indictment against me. I would tell you that sometimes I use sex to avoid communication. It's the best escape when we're down on our luck. But I can express more emotions than laughter, anger, and let's f***. If ever I would stop thinking about music and politics, if ever I would stop thinking about music and politics, if ever I would stop thinking about music and politics, if ever I would stop thinking about music and politics. If ever I would stop thinking about music and politics, I would tell you that I pooped in my own dog dish. Sometimes I would rather face not eating than face licking it clean and admitting when I'm selfish. And I tell you that I'm suffering from the worst type of loneliness, the loneliness of being misunderstood, or more poignantly, the loneliness of being afraid to allow myself.
or I would stop thinking about music and politics. I would tell you that the personal revolution is far more difficult than the first step in any revolution. If ever I would stop thinking about music and politics.
This is the Quality News Network. As expected last night, President Bush announced 20,000 or so troops could come home from Iraq within a year if the country's security and political situation improves. Also as expected, Democratic leaders criticized the president's plan, saying it doesn't go far enough, fast enough. A White House progress report on Iraq released today indicates Baghdad has made significant progress on only one benchmark goal. A senior Bush administration official says Iraqis have successfully reintegrated former Ba'ath Party members into the political process. For the fifth time in 3 days, a powerful earthquake has rocked Indonesia. Tsunami warnings were issued this morning for the entire Indian Ocean region following three tremors in excess of magnitude 6. Forecasters say the storm Umberto, which battered the Texas and Louisiana coast yesterday, grew from tropical depression to hurricane faster than any other storm system on record. Tens of thousands of customers remain without power this morning, and authorities are monitoring areas for flooding. Warnings of a storm surge yesterday led to a late-night emergency evacuation of a small Inupiaq village in northwest Alaska. There are no roads anywhere near Kivalinga. Thousands were rescued by small planes, boats, and all-terrain vehicles. Sudan's president today announced his government will agree to a ceasefire in the Darfur region when representatives from the government and rebel forces begin peace talks next month. Russia's lower house of parliament today approved by a large